So real quickly, our word today comes from Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. And it says this: Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. Speak from the thought, celebrating mama's faith. Celebrating mama's faith. Celebrating mama's faith. I have to admit that on this day, this is perhaps one of the most difficult sermons for me to preach. That many of you, you go out and you go shopping and you look for just the right gift to give to your mother. Perhaps you shop online just to find that right gift. Perhaps you go to the store and you get that Hallmark card, the one that has just the right words that you want to use to convey or to express the love that you have for your mother. And it's hard for me. Several reasons. Because I know that there are those that are here today, and I know that you are motherless, meaning that your mother has gone home to be with the Lord. And so for some of us, it's a bittersweet moment. It's a day of joy as we celebrate mothers, but it's a day that we remember our mothers that are no more, that they've gone home to be with the Lord. That today reminds me that there are some women here that desire to have children, but God has not opened your womb and blessed you at this point. And even now, your womb yearns to have a child, and it has yet to come to pass. And so my heart goes out to you, and I want to let you know today that God knows and God cares. And I believe this, that God still gave you as a woman a nurturing spirit. So nurture the children and the people that are around you until such time that God opens your womb to bring you a child. And if he doesn't do it, listen, let God's grace sustain you and keep you. Thank God for all those that are here, all the mothers that are here, grandmothers, the stepmothers, the single mothers that are strong and they have to do it by themselves, by God's grace. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for all the mothers who love and care for their children, all the wives who care for their husbands. I thank God for all of you women that are here today. And listen, if by chance you did not get here by way of a mother, listen, you can sit down and you don't have to say a thing. But if you got here by way of a mother, listen, why don't you stand on your feet real quick, put your hands together, and thank God for the mothers here, those that have gone home to be with the Lord. Thank God for mothers. God, we thank you for mothers. Thank you for the gift that you've given us in mothers today. Amen. Amen. We thank God for, and we admire so many things about our mothers. I was sharing with someone this morning that mothers have a huge role to play. They have a whole lot. They hold it down. They hold it together. That they're the cleaning person. They do the laundry service. They're the nurses. They're the cooks. They're the interior decorators. They're counselors. They do it all. And they mean everything. They mean everything to us. That mamas are like the mother hens that comfort their children on one hand, and They're like the pit bull on the other hand. They protect them at all. Don't you mess with babies. Don't mess with my babies. Don't mess with my babies. That's what mothers would tell you. You know, but what I admire and celebrate the most this morning about mothers and what I know about mothers and the strong women that were a part of my life, that yes, my mother had a big influence on my life. So did my grandmother and my great-grandmother, that these three women, that they led me and they guided me. And even at a time when perhaps daddy was struggling with his own stuff, I'm talking about me, that mama was there and my grandmothers were there. And so I admired a lot of things about them, but what I admired about them most was their commitment to their faith. I mean, they had this unswerving faith. And I don't know about some of y'all. I had the Bible-toting kind of mama and grandmama. They walk around quoting scriptures and telling you what the Lord would do in your life. I had those kind of grandmothers and a mother in my life, and I appreciated that so much about them, that I believe it was their faith that held our family together through the ups and the downs of life. I'm looking around the room at some single mothers in the house today, and I know you would say it's nothing but by the grace and the power of God that you were able to rear your children and to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But you're holding it together, and we applaud you today, and we thank you today for what you do as mothers in the Lord. And it's great to, I know y'all say it's great to be a mother, but what about being a godly mother? One who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. One who teaches her child the principles and the precepts of God's word. These are the mothers that we celebrate today as well. Those that lean hard on the Lord. Just like this mother in the text for today. So as it was, because Jesus was the popular healer at the time, that he spoke words with authority, there were many people that followed him. And time again, Jesus tried to get a little getaway time. He wanted to get away from the crowds. He wanted to get away from the Pharisees who were against him. He wanted to withdraw. And so in our text for today, that's what he's trying to do. But there were too many desperate people, too many people with a need, that Jesus could not get away from them. And here's what I want you to know. Listen, right now, in this very moment, there's somebody here with a need. That you're desperate. That you want God to do something in your life. That this Jesus that you speak of, that this is the same Jesus that loves you and cares for you. And I want to let you know this morning that he cares about your need. And so the desperate crowd seek him out, and we find in the text that he goes to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And so this is important. He goes to Gentile territory, and he runs into this Canaanite woman. Anybody that knows biblical history, that the Canaanites in Israel, the Jews, they had a beef. We talked about a beef last week. And so historically, they had this beef. And the Bible says that she was a Syrophoenician woman, that she was from the region of Phoenicia, Assyria, we would call it today. And so of all the people that come to Jesus that have a need is this Gentile woman. She's unnamed. But what we know about this woman is that her faith is great. That's what Jesus said about her in the text today. And she comes to Jesus seeking his help because of who else but her child. That the Bible says that her daughter was demon possessed. So in that moment, the nail shop didn't matter. Soap opera didn't matter. Chatting with the girlfriends, that was off. Making it to the clearance sale, that was a non-issue. Because for this mother, her child was in need. And what I know about mothers, what I know about mamas, and can we call them mamas in the South? That's what we call y'all mama. That when her child is in need, she will go to whatever length to make sure her child need is actually, it's met. Yeah. So I think we see in this mother in the text, we see in the many women that are gathered here today, the many women Mama BJ that have gone home to be with the Lord, these mothers that we remember, these money mamas that we remember that had this same kind of faith. And so from the text today, we see this mama's first, her cry of faith. Look again with me at the text, verses 21 through 22. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." And so quickly we see that her need brought her to Jesus, that she came to him. No pretense, no facades. That she comes to Jesus with humility and boldness, and she pleads with him. And if you understand the text, she keeps on pleading with him, "Oh Lord, son of David, have mercy on me." Here is this Gentile woman who comes to this Jewish healer in faith. You know, it's funny sometimes that we have our issues with certain people. We have our prejudices with certain people. But when it comes to having a need, you could care less what a person looks like. You could care less where they're from. As long as that person is able to meet your need, that's all that really matters. But here's what I love about Jesus. Hebrews 4, 15 through 16 says this: we have a high priest who understands our every weakness, yet he was without sin, and we can come boldly before his throne of grace. And he can help us in our time of need. Anybody glad that you can come to Jesus today? And so she cries out, "Oh Lord, son of David." She cries out to him, "Have mercy." This phrase, "Oh Lord, son of David," is important because it identified him as the Messiah. The one that the Old Testament prophet spoke about. It was this Messiah, this deliverer. So she's recognizing and saying that you are the one, you are the chosen one, you are the Messiah, you are a deliverer, and I came to you today to deliver my daughter. And so this mother cries out as in she's an intercessor. That she comes to not for her own need, but for the needs of her child. And I thank God for our prayer ministry. I thank God for our prayer warriors here at Living Faith who pray on the needs of other people. I thank God for intercessors that are in the house today. And she prays specifically that I have a daughter who's possessed with the devil. How many of y'all still know the devil is real? And how many of you know today that the devil wants your children? The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That it's only through Jesus that we can destroy and pull down the works of the enemy. And I want to let you know today, if you did not know it, the devil wants your child. And I think there's some people that can test. Sometimes it seems like the devil is nearby your child, doesn't it? That you just want them to get a little bit of act right. just a little bit of good sense. And so the young people, "Oh no, yeah, the preacher's down on us." But the devil is real. He's after our children. It's only by the power of God that we can defeat him. Yo, I remember years ago, I remember my great-grandmother. Like I said, my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my mother, they were the influences, powerful influences in my life as a child. And I remember how grandmother would stand by the sink, and I can still see her today, that yellow tub sink filled with grains, and she'd be picking grains, but grandmama would be humming, and she had that little to her hum, and she'd be humming her favorite gospel song. And she'd be standing over that sink. Her eyes were closed. She'd be picking grains, y'all, tears streaming down her face. And I knew what great-grandmama was crying about, that she was crying for her son, my daddy, who had some of his own issues, that she was crying out to God and praying to God for her own child, that she was crying out and praying to God for her little grandchildren, that she was rearing it in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I remember grandmother's prayer. that she prayed for us with a strong faith that would hold on. That this woman cries out in faith to Jesus, and she kept on crying out in faith. And then we see her commitment, the commitment of her faith. The text says, Jesus gives her no reply. These next few verses, that she's crying out, and Jesus, he gave her no reply, not even a word. Jesus was silent. Mothers and brothers and sisters, what do you do when you know Jesus is near and you go to him in prayer, but he's saying nothing? That you're waiting for an answer to your prayer, but you don't hear anything. What do you do in those moments? I believe that we ought to do what this mother did. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But when you read through the verses, not only was Jesus silent, but look at his disciples, y'all. They said, send her away. This woman is bothering us. What do you do when those that are supposed to be the nearest to Jesus, when those who are a part of the household of God, when those who name the name of Jesus are the people that are most insensitive to your need? Did you hear what I said? Holy Ghost filled people, fire baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. But they're insensitive to what you need. What do you do in those moments? I think we still do what this mother did. Jesus says to her, as he opens his mouth, that he was sent to God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. And so what Jesus is simply saying is a priority that he understood his assignment. That God called him to be the savior of the world, but also to preach to the people of Israel, that they might be the people that would bring God's salvation to the rest of the world. So there was a priority in his mission that he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Now again, Jesus is in Gentile territory amongst this Gentile woman. So I wonder what she may have heard as he talked to her. Maybe she heard, well, woman, I'm sorry, but you're not my priority. Anybody ever felt that way? That you think you ought to be, but you're not somebody's priority. Dr. Batch, I'm going to say this, forgive me, sir, but I got to say this. Anybody went to a doctor's appointment? And you showed up 15 minutes early. In 45 minutes, you're still waiting in the waiting room to be saved. I don't mean that, Dr. Bass. You still waiting to get saved? And you feel like in that moment, you're not their priority. Maybe there's someone in a marriage relationship or friendship. And you have a need. But you feel like when you tell other person what your expressed need really is, you share your heart, that you're not that other person's priority. Maybe she felt that way. So what's going on here? So Jesus is silent at first. The disciples shunned her. Jesus speaks, but it kind of seems like that she's not his priority. What did she do? Look at the text. This is what she did, that this woman worshiped. That she pleaded with Jesus, that she did not stop, that she kept coming at Jesus, that she stood in faith. I heard all of that, Jesus, but she kept coming to Jesus, that she fell at his feet, that she worshiped him, that she would not leave. This is what the woman did. This is what so many mothers, this is what you do. That when the odds are against you, everything in your life is not hunky-dory. Maybe your relationship with your spouse is not the best. Maybe your children are wayward, but you keep on praying. You keep on seeking God, and you don't give up. And that's what God wants you to do. I remember the story in Luke chapter 18, the persistent widow. Some of y'all remember that story. That this persistent widow, she comes before this judge, and the judge is unjust. Why is he unjust? Because he could care less about the woman, that he had no compassion. And when you read the text, it says that he listened, that he did have, had no fear of God either. So he didn't care about God. He didn't care about this woman. He didn't care about her needs. And so he was an unjust judge. Certainly those who are in the justice system ought to care about justice. And not just for some people, but for all people. But what does this woman do? That this is a parable. This is a story. And Jesus is teaching those a story. And the truth of the story is this. That you ought to always pray. And to not give up. And that's what this woman in the story did, that she did not give up. She kept coming to the judge over and over and over till finally got tired and said, listen, let me go ahead and give this woman what she needs. Not that I care about her or God, but she's bothering me. She's getting on my nerves. And so I'm going to grant her request. And her request was to be freed from her enemy. And he granted her request. So we celebrate mothers who are committed in God to God in faith. Mothers who pray for their children, and some that seems like they're trying to get it together, but they can't quite get it together. They pray for the safety and the well-being of their children as they go out into this world. Many are going off to college, and your mother's praying for you. I want you to know that mama's praying for you as you get settled and try to figure your life out. Know that you have a mother that's praying for you. Mothers that know how to push. They know how to pray until something happens. Mothers that don't give up. Mothers that stay constant in prayer. Mothers that stay on their knees before God on behalf of their family, on behalf of their children. We thank God for these mothers today. Then in the faith, real quick, in the text, we see the challenge of this mother's faith. Look at verses 26 and 27. Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." But she replied, "That's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat scraps that fall beneath their master's table." Did Jesus just call this woman a dog? You know, this is a boggling text for many people. It's disputed amongst theologians, but I think if we understand some of the historical context, we'd be able to get a better understanding of what Jesus was saying and what he meant. Again, Jesus already explained that, listen, that he had a priority in his mission. And in that priority was to reach Israel, God's chosen people, who would bring the word God of God, the gospel of God, to the rest of the world. And so he just explains that. And so in this description that he talks about it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs, that the word dog there in the hearing of the Jews would have meant this very vile person, this non-Jewish person. And sometimes they would feel like, listen, they would be ceremonially unclean if they were even touched by in that person's presence. But that's really not the word that Jesus uses. He uses a diminutive, a different word. And the word he used really refers to a small dog that's at the table of the family. And that's what the woman understood, because you see it in her reply. "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." That Jesus, I understand what you said. That the Jews are your priority. That you have a mission to them. But at the same time, Jesus, I got a need. And I know, Jesus, that I have a need and only you can meet my need. So however you want to flip the script, you want to call me a dog or not, and listen, I know, God, you can meet my need. And so I don't think Jesus was trying to insult the woman. I think he was trying to let her know his mission, his priority. But Jesus also understood the need of this woman. I think Jesus is testing the woman's faith, but I think he also gives a message and an object lesson to his disciples. And here's what I love about Jesus. Here's what I love about God. That no matter who you are, whether you Jew or Gentile, no matter the color of your skin, no matter your background, no matter where you're from, if you have a need, that he cares about your need, that he loves you so much and he wants to meet your need, whatever it might be, wherever you are from, that you're not too low, you're not too high, that he won't meet your need. Jesus always responded to the needs of the human condition, and he always responds to faith. That's why he came to be with us, because all of us had a need. All of us were in sin. But Jesus came while we were yet still sinners, and he gave his life for you and for me. When Jesus saw the crowds elsewhere in text, it says he had compassion upon them. Lamentations 3, chapter 3, verse 22 through 23. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are fresh each day. That he is the God of compassion. Here we have a compassionate Jesus, a compassionate Savior. But here we also have a woman that's compassionate and has a passion for her child. She has a passion for her daughter, that her daughter needed to be healed. And regardless of what Jesus was saying, the disciples saying, what the circumstances were, she knew that Jesus was the answer to her problem. And so I thank God, we praise God, and we celebrate mothers of faith who are filled with passion and compassion for their children. A woman by the name of Aretha Robinson, a mother whose faith was challenged, that she was a single mother, that she was a laundry woman, that circumstances were hard, that she had children. She had one child who was blind, that he could see at one time, but because of life circumstances, he became blind. The conditions were bad, but she was a strict Baptist mother that had faith in God. And even with a blind son, she did not allow his blindness to take capture of him. That to this day, we don't know Aretha Robinson, but we do know her son who's gone home now. And his name is Ray Charles. That she was a woman of compassion, that she was a woman of faith, and she held to her convictions as it related to her child and to her son, and she made sure that he didn't allow his blindness to get the best of him, and he was successful in life. I thank God for the mothers that are here today, that you see beyond what others might be able to see in your children, and you're filled with passion and compassion for your children, and you don't let them wallow in their issues and their pain and in their stuff. But you encourage them and you lift them up so they can be the best that they can be for themselves and the best they can be for the Lord. We celebrate mothers of faith today. This last thing, Leona. Saw you the other day walking down Alamo Ranch Parkway with your baby and stroller, and that smile on your face as only a mother, or your face only a mother could do. Keep on doing what you do. You stay encouraged. You keep holding strong. You keep your head up. The last thing we see is the consequences of this mother's faith. What Jesus says in verse 20, "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. So in this brief encounter with Jesus, here this mother comes, this Gentile woman whose daughter is demon-possessed. She runs into this Jewish healer, Jesus, and at the end of the encounter, listen, her daughter was healed. This is what I love about the text. Where do you read in the text that Jesus went to the house? That he laid his hand on her and she was healed? You find it nowhere in the text. Jesus often found foreigners who were in need, and he would touch them, that he'd be there with them. Y'all remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? There's a Samaritan leper. There's the Roman centurion. And this woman in the text. But I find it interesting that he simply speaks a word. And the mother goes to the house, and the daughter's laying in the bed, and she's whole, and she's well. She's in her right mind, that the demon is gone. That you have to get the picture of this, that this woman's faith touched the heart of God, that it touched the heart of Jesus. And Jesus didn't even have to be in the house. But his heart was touched by her faith. And it was his power that healed this girl that had a demon in her. Do you get the picture today? I'm talking to mamas today. Because perhaps you have a need. Perhaps it's something personal. Perhaps it's on behalf of your children. Perhaps it's on behalf of a spouse, another family member, or a friend. But whatever that need might be, hold on to your faith. Don't let go. Hold on to your faith. And I believe that your faith will touch the heart of God. And God will move on your behalf the way he chooses to move. I wonder how many of us today know that in fact, listen, you are the product. You are the result of a praying mama. Any people in the house today? I know I can talk about me. That I am the product of a praying mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. That my life could have went left in a whole different direction. But I thank God for a mother that kept me before the Lord. That kept me on the straight and the narrow. I didn't want to be there, but she kept me in church. And my grandmothers kept me in church. I never will forget one of the worst whippings I had is when I acted up in vacation Bible school. I was about 7 or 8 years old. My great-grandma whipped me, took a switch and whipped me in front of my girlfriend. I was 7 or 8 years old. But because of their faith, they kept me before the Lord. I hear Paul speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, where he says to his young protege, he says to Timothy, "Timothy, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith of that first that was first filled in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." You know, it's funny, but it's true that growing up, we used to laugh at a lot of things that mama used to say, a lot of things that mama used to do. How many mamas used to say, "Well, when I was growing up," anybody remember that? How many remember you're sitting at the dinner table and you don't want to eat your food and they're starving children in Africa. And you dare not say anything back, but you're thinking at the time, well, if they're starving, they can have this liver on my plate. They're welcome to it. They can have it. How many mamas used to say, "You'd lose your head if it wasn't on your shoulders." Y'all, that we would laugh about the things that mama would say, the things that mama would do. But I still remember mama and grandmama and them and how they would go to church and how they would lift their hands in prayer and praise, how they would shout unto God. Some of y'all had some of them grandmama and them that had those wigs on, and when they got happy, the wig would go one way. But they kept on praising God. I remember something my grandmama used to say, "The Lord will make a way somehow." I remember my great-grandmama saying, "It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it." I remember them saying, "Baby, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and allow him to direct your path." Some of that stuff used to sound strange to me back then, but y'all know what? That faith got contagious. And that same faith that was in mama and them is in me today. And I find myself saying the same things today. Baby, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. That sometimes I get happy, I lift up my hands, I throw my head back, I ain't got no hair, but I shout to God for all that God has done for me. That mama's love got, her faith got contagious and strong in me. And that same faith that we celebrate today from mama is the same faith, Sister Irish, that's in us today. Mothers, hold on to your faith. Mr. Liddell, it's a contagious faith that kept us through the bad days and the up days that's in us today. And that's what we celebrate today. So I encourage you, mamas, hold on to your faith. When it looks like it's bad and they're not going to get it right, hold on to your faith. When you look around the house and the house seems empty and quiet because the children are out in the world doing their own thing right now, they still need you. Pray for them. Hold on to your faith. Listen, if you are in a situation right now and your household is not the way you would hope it would be, that maybe like my daddy who went home to be with the Lord, but he had that part where he acted like a knucklehead, but if you're dealing with a knucklehead right now, listen, hold on to your faith. Trust that God will bring you through. Keep on praying. Keep on lifting your hands. Keep on shouting. Hold on to your faith. Your faith in the Lord. Again, today we celebrate the great faith of Mama Nim. Amen and amen. Pray with me now. Father, thank you so much as we celebrate on this Mother's Day and as we pause and we reflect on our mothers that are living. We thank you. Mothers that have gone home to be with you, for them we thank you. We remember them. For the childless mother, for the nurturing heart that you've given them, we thank you. For all of our mothers, our stepmothers, our mentoring mothers, our nurturing mothers, loving mothers, caring mothers, we thank you for them. But God, we know that you are a mother to the motherless. That mothers get their nurturing spirit, their loving spirit from you. And it's by your love, oh God, that you draw us nearer to you. It's because of your love, Father, that you sent Jesus into the world to give his life as a ransom for many. That's for us. And for that, we're grateful. And in this very moment, pray, God, by your Spirit, if there's someone that does not know you in the pardon of their sins, that you would draw them by your Spirit, that you would let them in this moment know just how much they are loved by you, how much you care, that you cared enough, Jesus, to go to Calvary's cross, and you died, but you did not stay there. 3 days later, you got back up with all power, and that is your power to save us. To all those that trust and believe in your gospel message. So speak to hearts right now. Do what only you can do by your Spirit. We admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus. We believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead. And we turn from our sins and we turn to Jesus. And we trust him. Thank you for your saving power. Thank you for your grace and mercy. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen, amen. So if you are here today, if you're in the house today and you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we want to invite you into a saving relationship. And so how do you do that? We said it in the prayer that you admit that you are a sinner. All of us have sinned and fallen short of his grace. That you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You repent from your sins, mean you turn from them. Does it mean that everything will fall away instantly? No, it doesn't mean that, but you're determined to turn, to make the choice to turn from your sins and to turn to Jesus. Confess him as the Lord and the Savior of your life. And it has to be a heartfelt thing. It has to come from the heart. It has to come from the heart. When you do this, this saves you and that settles it. It's done. So if you are here today, perhaps you're believing for the first time. Perhaps you are already a born-again believer, but you're not connected to a local church somewhere. Well, listen, Living Faith Community Church, the church where we're connecting real life to a real faith, is a good place to be. So if you choose today in this moment to be connected to this ministry, there are ushers that are standing in the back of the room. Their hands are extended. And so if you would, at this very moment, listen, there is a room across the hallway. They're going to lead you to that room. There will be new member ministry advisors that will sit down with you. They will speak with you, and they will, if you're for the first time, they'll guide you through the scriptures, what salvation really means. If you're a born-again believer but you want to connect with this church, they'll lead you in that. So get up from where you are right now in this moment. I'll take you to room number one. We don't rush this moment. Holy Spirit, this is all you. Do what only you can do. If he's tugging at your heart at this moment, listen to him. Trust him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you are online and you're listening in right now, it's so important that you're in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what this all comes down to. This is what really matters to God and to Jesus and to this ministry and to church, that you're in a saving relationship with Jesus. And so there is a form online that you can fill out in this very moment. Fill that form out, and I promise you, on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you, perhaps gather some more information, and we'll welcome you with open arms. Would there be another in the house today? We don't take this moment for granted. Would there be another?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.